Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is about training, titled, What's Holding You Back? So, everybody listening to this podcast, most likely you work out on a regular basis, but not everybody has probably seen the results that they want. So, we've talked about it before in regards to nutrition, is what's most important or what's some things that might be holding you back. So, I wanted to do a podcast about training to kind of discuss those same things. So, I want to discuss kind of four key areas that I think people can sometimes mess up, and that might be what's holding you back. Now, you might not be making mistakes in all four areas, but even just one can hold you back. So you might be making a mistake in one or more. So I want to kind of present these areas to you, and then you can kind of think through your own training and your own thought process and see if this is something you might want to look into. So if one of these areas is something you want to look into. So the first thing that I think is most important is consistency. So you can do the perfect workout, perfect execution of every exercise with the perfect exercises, everything being perfect. But if you only train once a week, you're not going to get much. If you only train, you know, say maybe you kill it, you train, you know, four or five times this week, maybe only two next week because you got busy with family stuff. Then you get back to four to five, but then you miss a week because you went on vacation. So that type of inconsistency is not going to allow you to move forward very far. So if you're a true newbie, a true beginner, you can get some results doing pretty crap effort, to be honest, just because if you've been doing nothing, anything above nothing is pretty good. So that's the idea of it, is as you want to get more advanced, you have to be more consistent. So to give you an idea, not to kind of make you feel defeated or anything, but to give you an idea, I've been lifting and working out for 20 years, lifting weights for 19. And in the 20 years, I've never missed more than 7 consecutive days. So I've never missed more than a week in 20 years. And that is pretty extreme, but it's not unheard of. So my mom, I train my mom, and she's a trainer at the gym here as well. And she has trained for 14 years, and the same thing. She's never missed more than a week in 14 years. So that's how, when she started lifting weights at 47 years old, she has done 3 aesthetic competitions, like bodybuilding, figure competition style stuff. And she's done, I think, 5 or 6 powerlifting meets. And those were all pretty much done in her 50s and early 60s. So that's pretty badass. So, and how can you do that at 50 years old is by being consistent, by showing up every day. And no, you do not get a killer workout every day. No, you do not feel your best every day, but you come in, you do something, you move something around. So it's kind of like, for example, at work, you have to go to work every day. Maybe not every day is the best day, but you show up so you can get your paycheck, right? Well, you show up at the gym, even if every day isn't the best day, you still got to show up, and that's how you can get some results. So even if you're not having the best workouts, a mediocre workout is a hell of a lot better than no workout. So it doesn't matter what excuse you have, it doesn't matter what reason, if you don't work out, you don't get results. That's how it works. So just show up, be consistent, that's the first thing. And by consistent, I would say at least once a week to maintain-ish your results, but 2 or 3 if you want to have any resemblance of moving forward, and 3 to 4 is kind of like good enough to move forward. Now, if you work out 4 to 5 to 6 times a week, that's awesome, good for you. But if you are not a big fan of working out, it's not your favorite thing to do, and you're just kind of doing it because you're supposed to for health reasons and whatever, then 3 times a week is something that you can see progress on. You can feel good about seeing some changes in the long term. So consistency is by far the most important thing. Doesn't matter how well you do exercises, it doesn't matter what exercises you do, if you just show up and you move things around, you will see some changes. Okay? So consistency is number one. Now, the second thing is technique and how well you perform the exercises that you actually are doing. So too often, way too often, people get all concerned over their programming, what exercises they're doing. It doesn't matter as much as how well you're doing them, okay? What type of squat you do doesn't matter as much as just doing a squat correctly. So overwhelmingly, when I meet with clients, They come in and they say, you know, oh, I'm squatting all the time. My squat's not getting any stronger. They're following some program, and they're consistent. But when you look at their squat, they're all forward in their quads. They're way over their toes. Maybe they're not using their butt and their back and their hips as well. It's just the movement quality is pretty crap. And then that's why they don't get the results they want. So, and I mean, I see this in really high-level lifters. So there are very high-level CrossFit athletes I've seen that have no butt, no hamstrings, because everything they do is in their quads, and none of their coaches know well enough to correct them. Now, this isn't all, I'm not talking crap on all CrossFit coaches. They're fantastic, excellent CrossFit coaches. But there are coaches who don't catch that kind of stuff, and they miss it. And as long as the person is moving weights around, they consider it to be good enough, but that is not true. So moving stuff around works okay for when you're brand new and you're a beginner. But very quickly, how well you move that stuff around becomes important. And I don't mean to bash CrossFit. There are crappy personal trainers. You know, there's crappy, you know, coaches in all sports. But that is an example of one that I see quite often, is you'll have somebody who competes in CrossFit and does relatively well, but yet they'll have completely missing muscles, or their form and technique on like big lifts, so squat and deadlift, are going to be pretty awful sometimes. So that's something that I think people overlook, is how well they perform the movements. So people look too quickly to their programming and say, oh, you know, should I do squats twice a week or squats three times a week? It doesn't really matter if all of them are shit. So if all of them are awful, it doesn't matter how often you do them. So it's more important to make sure that you move correctly more than what you're moving, or like that kind of stuff. So, and an example of this is my online clients are overwhelmingly personal trainers or really high-level, national-level kind of competitors in their sport. So they, because they are so good already at their sport, or they understand the value already of how important technique is. So that's why they'll get me as a coach, is I can look at the videos, we can talk through, you know, either communication, email, you know, messaging through Instagram, whatever, or even on the phone if we need to. We can talk through the movements and improve their quality of movement and get them using their muscles more evenly, get them working around injuries. So some of the clients I have online, they have had an injury in the past, so they came to me to try to help fix that injury and become even better. So I find it interesting that beginners in gyms will follow some kind of bro science bullshit programming, and yet there's the advanced, better athletes than them who are paying attention to technique and form. So it's kind of interesting that the beginners who want to become the advanced don't focus on the same things the advanced focus people, like the advanced people, focus on. So you think if they're advanced and they consider training technique to be of the utmost importance, you probably need to as well. So it's actually common that the better you get at your chosen activity, the more important you realize technique actually is. Because you're tired of doing the busy work, you're tired of showing up and following all these programs that never seem to work, and the reason why they're not working is because you're not moving correctly. And you're usually unaware of it. You're usually completely unaware of it. And again, this is something that is something that common that holds people back. So I know a ton of like guys and girls who come into the gym and they're hashtag killing it, going hashtag beast mode. all the time. But they're just kind of like throwing things around. They're not really paying attention to the quality of stuff. So you'll see this all the time in females who are training to grow their glutes. Is they're doing everything through their quads and then just flexing their glutes when the movement has stopped. So they'll go through a full range of motion and then flex their glute. That doesn't help. The glute needed to be flexed through the range of motion, so the stress and the damage actually went to the glute. You can't just flex the muscle at the end and call it good work. So that's something you see quite common as well. And my best piece of advice for this, and I know I'm a trainer, so it's going to sound like kind of BS, but if you've been in this podcast for a while, you know I'm not trying to sell you on anything. But my best piece of advice is to get a trainer. Because you can have your bro, you know, or your friend or your gym partner kind of look at you and tell you what you're doing, but they don't have a clue. They're not educated on it. They don't have a ton of experience on it. All they know is their movements and maybe your movements. They've not looked at, you know, hundreds of people moving and understanding the biomechanics of what's important for each body type. So it's really important to recognize that you don't move the same as your friend. So therefore, some movements are going to look different on each of you, but yet, even though they look different, that's how you can make them work the same. So if I have somebody with long femurs or short femurs, or a long torso or a short torso, movements like stiff leg deadlifts, squats, regular deadlifts, they're all going to look slightly different, but they need to look different for each body type to make sure that the body that you're looking at is actually hitting the muscle you want. So if you have somebody who wants to target their glutes, but they have very long femurs and a long torso, maybe like, you know, a thin female who's 5'10", they're going to move a lot differently than a thicker female who's 5'2". So you need to get somebody who's educated on what your movement needs to be. And it doesn't mean you have to get a trainer forever. Trainers, if they're a good trainer, you can come to me and I'll fix your squat in one workout. So you don't need to sign up for, you know, the rest of your life. You don't need to commit to long durations or long contracts. So I do one-time sessions with people on bench, squat, or deadlift, and easily within one session, within one one-hour session, they're walking out of there moving better. We've talked about accessories that they can do to improve their technique over time, to balance out their strengths. So even just one session can make a big difference. And you can even do it like maybe a month. Maybe you work out, you know, like 4 weeks in a row, and then you kind of take it on your own. I have some people that check in with me once a month. It just kind of depends on the frequency that we think they need. So I commonly have clients who I've worked with. Like, I've owned the gym now here at Brutal Iron Gym for 8 years, and I have clients that I've worked with for 8 years. Now, they know what they're doing at this point, but we just enjoy working together. They enjoy having the variety. They like having me continually push them. So there are some clients I have that are long-term, and I have some clients I meet one-off, and they're done. So they'll come down from, I live in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is about 10, 15 minutes south of Charlotte, which is a big city. So they'll come down from Charlotte. We'll work one good session together on a big lift, you know, give them some pointers, and then they're off on their own and moving better, you know, getting rid of knee pain, hip pain, back pain, moving better, and they're stronger in the long term. So getting a trainer does help over having a bro or a friend or gym buddy look at you. Because trainers are going to be more educated. And try to find a trainer who has a balance of experience and formal education. So some of the best trainers I know don't actually have certifications, but they've just been doing it forever. And they've educated themselves in the sense of always looking up stuff on their own. And then you also have trainers who have awesome certifications, who are brand new to it. They don't really know everything yet. So you want to try to find people who are somewhere in the middle. So they've worked with some people, they have some of their own experiential background, and they also have some client background. Now, that's a little rough to you newbie trainers, because you're like, how the hell am I going to build experience if no one ever comes to me? That's true. So I guess the best thing you can look for in a trainer is enthusiasm and passion. You know, are they excited? Are they always learning something new? Or, you know, like, what's their drive to become better as a trainer? If they're a very driven person, an excited person, an enthusiastic person, then they're going to probably be great to help you. So even if they're a little lower level of experience, you know that they're passionate enough to go find those answers. So I was that trainer at one point in time where, you know, I had a first client, I had a second client, I had somebody who I worked with for the fifth time that was only my fifth ever person. So I've been the beginner trainer, of course, because we all have to begin somewhere. And that was what helped separate me from other trainers, was I was enthusiastic. I was willing to admit when I didn't know something and go find the answer. So I always wanted what was best for my client, because I thought it was so awesome that they were trusting in me to be part of their journey. And I wouldn't want to let them down. So find a trainer who has that type of passion, that type of enthusiasm. But I do think having a trainer to help with your technique is important. So it's one of the few times I'll actually tell you to get a trainer, because I do think it's helpful. The third area that can be setting you back is maybe you feel like you're moving well. I promise you're not. There are mistakes you're going to be making, so go get a trainer. But if you're consistent, if you're going in there and you think you're moving everything well, you then want to look at the intent of what you're doing. So this is the third mistake I see all the time, is if somebody's coming into the gym and say they're a bodybuilder and they really want to build their muscle, then you need to make sure that what you're doing is causing muscle damage, muscle stress. So if you're doing a movement and you're just throwing the weight around, where you have a contraction at one end of the range of motion, but the weight coasts to the other end because you're pushing it so hard, that is not causing as much muscle stress and damage, and it's actually getting more into the joints than what you need. So it's better to move slowly and focus on the intended muscle stretching, the intended muscle contracting. So moving very slow, very methodical, trying to get that mind-muscle connection, where you want to feel the muscle working at all times. The muscle never releases. You never lose sensation of the muscle. So too often people just kind of shove the muscle, like shove the weight to one end. They kind of drop the weight back through to the beginning, and they go back and forth. You'll see this all the time in movements like, say, leg press, where somebody drops to the bottom, they throw it to the top, they drop to the bottom, they throw it to the top, rather than actually lowering down through the muscle, contracting through the muscle, lowering through the muscle. So they lose focus on what the muscle's intent is, like what muscles are supposed to be working. So another one is chest press, for example, or chest flies is a great one, where somebody will squeeze their chest all the way to the contraction. You can see them flexing their chest in such an awesome way. And then all of a sudden when they go to release the weight, they give the weight to the front delts and biceps. They let their chest go. So they're doing the negatives through their front delt and biceps. They're doing the contractions through their chest. They're only getting half the freaking work. So it's really important that you pay attention to what the intent of the movement you're doing is. So if the movement is intended to stress the muscle, you have to move slow and keep the stress on the muscle. Now, on the contrary, if the intention of that movement is to be explosive, is to be strong, then you have to move explosively. You have to move in a strong manner. So you want to make sure you're moving in the proper pathways and with healthy position, but you got to move that damn weight. You got to get it going. So an example might be box jumps. So if I want to jump to the top of a box, I cannot come up slowly. I won't leave the floor very far. So you have to be explosive. So it's understanding what movements, if you're an athlete, need to be explosive and what movements need to be slower so you can actually focus on the muscle. So I see this all the time with athletes. And this would be sport athletes, strongmen, powerlifters, where they do their strength movements explosively, but then when they go to do their accessories that are intended to work the muscle, they're just shoving the dang weight around and not really paying attention to what they're doing. They're just kind of going through the motions, getting to their 10 reps and quitting. No. You need to pay attention to the quality of what you're doing, the intent of what you're doing. If you're doing a movement to work a muscle, make sure that muscle is working. So you want to make sure you're going slowly, squeezing and stretching through the muscle. So that is the next biggest thing I see people make mistake-wise. So the first mistake was consistency in their training. Are they showing up all the time, consistently enough to get results? Are they doing the technique correctly on their exercises? And then, are they doing the proper intent? So if it's a muscle movement, are you letting your muscles take the stress, or are you just throwing the weight around? And then finally, the fourth important thing would be programming. It is not more important than how well you move do the exercises you're already doing. So there isn't some magical difference between, like there is a difference between, say, for example, hammer curls versus regular supinated curls. Sure. You can change a little bit of the biceps that you work, you know, work the brachioradialis, get some other muscles involved. But if you perform either one of those horribly, you're not going to get great results. So switching from a horribly performed hammer curl to a horribly performed supinating curl isn't going to get you magically better results. If you're doing things not in a well way, like you're doing them horribly, you're going to get horrible results regardless of which ones you do. Okay? So it's more important that you learn how to move them, do the movements correctly, than what movements you're doing. Okay? So if you're doing a squat to build your legs, it's more important that you find the right way to squat rather than whether you're doing pause squats or regular squats. If they both look like crap, they're both going to get crap results. Okay? So programming is something that's important, though. I do want to state that. It is important. So too often when people are doing their programming, they're not selecting exercises or movements or workout-to-workout concepts that actually sequence where they want to go. And what I mean by this is if somebody, for example, wants to get better at squats, and they're doing their squat, and then they go to a quad movement, then a hamstring movement, then a hip movement. Okay, you do need your quads, hamstrings, and hips, but you're probably not balanced. You're probably overworking already one muscle group or another in your squat. So there are some people that are really low bar wide stance squatters and they work the hell out of their lower back, but they rely on that position because they have weak quads. Well, you don't need to train your quads equally compared to your hamstrings and hips then. You need to focus more on your quadriceps. So your quadricep training should take the bulk of your accessory work. And likewise, if you're already quad dominant, then your hamstrings and glutes should take the bulk of your accessory work. So your movements and the way you train should correlate in opposition to your strengths. It doesn't mean you shouldn't train your strengths. Your strengths should just be lessened and have a less focus. So let's say you're not even a strength athlete. You're just somebody who wants to get healthy. You probably already overuse certain muscles in everyday life. So maybe you have poor posture. So it's going to be very important that what you're doing in your programming addresses postural issues. You can't just go in there and do dumbbell presses and, you know, the back rows and assume that it's going to fix it. You have to find out what's wrong with your posture. Are there muscles that are weak because are they tight because they're weak? Are there muscles that are tight because they're too strong or too dominant? You got to find that stuff out. So that way you can lessen the frequency of the dominant muscles and increase the frequency of the weaker, less used muscles in your everyday life. So this is something that's really highly important. So I have people come in who are kind of like regular people, they're just looking to be healthy, and they'll have ridiculously tight, ridiculously weak hips. So our programming is based around movements that are going to open up their hips. We're not just trying to train their legs, that's too general. So if you just train their thighs, their quads and hamstrings, that doesn't really help their hip weaknesses, and it doesn't help their hip limited range of motion, their flexibility. So you have to get into movements that maybe have a wider stance, that maybe do like a wide stance box squat, for example, either holding a dumbbell or kettlebell or something to the front of their body if they're not prepared for a barbell yet. But you have to get into movements that challenge your weaknesses. So programming is important in the sense that you need to make sure that your programming reflects what direction you want your training to go. So if you want your training to get you bigger, your programming has to account for that. If you want your training to have more flexibility, more just general strength for all purpose life, then your training needs to reflect that. So your training should look different than somebody who has a different goal. So if you are training and you're buying a bulk program, or if you're working with a trainer and they're doing the same damn thing for you that they are for every other client, that's not good. If you're buying a program that a million other people are following, you better all million have the same goals. Otherwise, you're paying money for, you know, generic crap that might work, might not work, might be only 70% specific to your goals. It might not be 100%. So programming is important. You do need to make sure that it's sequenced to lead in the direction that you want to go in. However, programming is not more important than the intent of the movements that you perform. It's not more important than the technique of the movements you perform. And it's not more important than consistency. The best program in the world won't work if you don't do it. So there's some rundown of what might be holding you back in your training. Is, are you being consistent enough? Do you have good enough technique? Are you having the proper intent for each exercise that you're doing? And is your programming focused where you want it to go? So we do here at Brutal Iron Gym have a sample program I can send you. It has all components that a workout should include, regardless of any goal. There are things that you should address in every single person's training. So for example, are they set up to move correctly for the workout? So we have movement preparation, kind of drills to where, like if you have tight hamstrings, how do you loosen that? If you kind of have a rounded upper back posture, how do you tighten up or how do you address that? So that way when you go into your workout, you're properly positioned for those movements. Then you have ways to address your core, specifically to what your goal might be for your core, so or what you would need your core to do for your goal. Then you have strength movements, you have muscle manipulation, we have cardio-based activities. So we kind of have a general format that everybody can follow, and you would emphasize which areas are most important to you. So it's not general in the sense that everybody's told to do the same thing. It just tells you, here's the categories that every workout should address. Find the ones that are most important to your goals and emphasize those. So it's a good format to kind of start from to then become more personalized. But it's a good format you start from so that way you don't miss a component. Okay? That's the idea of this format, is it tells you everything that needs to be addressed, and then you pick which ones you want to emphasize the most. If you'd like that format, reach out to us or email brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll send it free of charge. Okay? So, if you like this information, hopefully you found it helpful, and you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. If you like the podcast, please share them, so the more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so tell us what you want to learn about, okay? So our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.